The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We are live, well, not live, I mean, I guess we are living in existence in this hotel room, recording the Tuesday, January 28th show on Monday, January 27th with a group of great friends, myself, John Breach, Sean Wagner-McGough, and Jonathan Jones. Ryan Wilson's here too. Just kidding. But JJ is in the room with us. Debo's in the hotel room. We're in, I'm not going to tell you my number, but we're in my hotel room.
405.
Bleep that.
Oh my God.
That's payback for when you guys call me in my hotel room as I was trying to sleep.
Brinson's adoring fans are going to come here at like 3 a.m. Yeah. Tuesday night.
I'd be worried except Wilson's at 505. So who cares?
Well, kill Brinson, then come upstairs. I'll hear the stuff. I can get out of the hotel room in time.
No, kill you first. That way I hear you stomping around upstairs. What were those multiple pairs of high heels I heard last night?
Too far?
Too much? Too much?
Too much.
Too much? Anyway, this is the Super Bowl opening night recap.
Strong start.
Just like the last time we all hung out at a Super Bowl, we're sitting in a hotel room. We're slamming wine. This time it's red. My choice. Last time it was Breach's. What, a Breach got some Chardonnay?
Now, it was white because that's all they sold at 4 a.m. in Atlanta at the hotel. There were no other options. Beggars cannot be choosers, Brinson.
It seemed like a racist move by you personally, but too far? Too far? We go too far, too far.
Brinson's trying to get fired tonight.
Yeah.
Oh. He's already tired Monday of Super Bowl week, so he's trying to get out of the rest of the week.
Will, the final podcast of Will Brinson's career. We can each guest host the rest of the episodes this week.
Diva's in hell right now. We actually have like fancy new podcast equipment and a headset. And so we're going to knock out Super Bowl opening night recap here. We will be live. Look, you listeners are awesome about interacting with us. We had a couple of listeners at opening night say what's up to me and Breach, took some selfies. Some guy actually asked me to sign his football. He was not a podcast listener and I don't think he knew who I was.
He thought you were Travis Kelce.
No, he thought I worked for the 49ers.
I was actually trying to figure out who he would have mistaken
he
for.
Thought Brinson, a player. He thought Brinson was Sourdough Sam.
I don't know.
49ers mascot?
Yeah, you need to Google
it
Sourdough
Sam. Feels like
Sam.
a fat joke and a minor joke.
I was going to say Charlie Day, but.
Where?
He's got the facial hair going.
So we really appreciate that. If you're ever around an event and you want to shout us out, we'd love to hang out and maybe we'll get beers with you. Maybe we'll do a little live podcast experience. But more importantly, if you laugh.
I just showed John a picture of Sourdough Sam. Okay. And he thinks it's your twin.
More importantly, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We will be doing a live one-hour show on CBS Sports HQ. We need the people who listen to this podcast to show out. That does look like me. So it's free. You just get the CBS Sports app on your phone, on your Roku, on your Amazon Fire. You can go to cbssports.com/live on your desktop. If you listen to this podcast and you like this podcast, please watch from 2 to 3. Just watch HQ all the time. Actually, I don't care if you watch the other stuff, but 2 to 3. That'll boost our numbers. I'll be like, man, these guys really are popular, even if it's not true. So let's talk about opening night. How would you grade it, Breach? Give opening night a grade.
Like, based on how my body's holding up and whether or not I'm going to survive this whole week. Because...
Well, you and I went out and had a bunch of bourbon on Sunday night, so that's why our bodies don't feel well.
But also, I gave a piggyback ride to an NFL football player who weighs 250 pounds, and I weigh at least half that. But I don't know math, so probably not that. But anyway.
I'm going to guess that you weigh more than 125 pounds.
Really? I'm pretty svelte right now. I don't know.
Yeah. If Prisco was here, he'd tell you you look like you're like 192.
I would give it a B. I thought it was entertaining. I thought the players looked like they were having a good time. And there's some characters there. There's always some characters. Ryan Wilson was running around de-pantsing people. I thought that was a little out of hand. Yeah.
Well, just to paint the picture. So media opening night, which is what they call it now, occurs on Monday night in the Super Bowl city at a venue of the NFL's choosing. There used to be media day at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, and they decided to turn it into this thing that they could put in prime time.
Indianapolis happened, they decided to move it.
Yeah, after you puked all over the Lucas Oil Stadium.
Prime time spectacle.
That actually happened, JJ. He was had to sprint out of there. He was doing an interview with Aaron Hernandez. Sprinted right upstairs.
I told you, that's three strikes.
Yeah, you're out.
How long have we been recording? 4 minutes?
4 minutes. It's been like 10 minutes. That's also like...
Yeah. So, they moved it to Monday night. This year it was at Marlins Park. I'm not really a big on being like, I think I'm a little claustrophobic but it's not like a diagnosed claustrophobic.
Well, the New Orleans Super Bowl, the Indianapolis Super Bowl, they had it on the field so you could actually move around. There's a lot of
space. And you also went to the place like where the game is being played. They started taking it to different venues. In the New York Super Bowl, they did it in a minor league hockey arena.
In New Jersey.
Or maybe it was an NHL arena, but either way it was a disaster. It was tiny and crowded. It was in the morning. And then this year it was at Marlins Park. But it was a thought like, okay, they're going to spread these guys out in the entirety of the field and you'll be able to walk around and like have some space and set up shop and talk to these guys. No, they put fake bleachers in to cordon off basically the outfield.
Right. So the infield was roped off. You couldn't go out and walk over there. Everything took place in the outfield.
Yeah, and it was like shrunk in, and it was like a little circle, and it was just tough to get into spots to be able to talk to people. So that was a little frustrating. And again, if you're claustrophobic, not great. But Breach, we were sitting on a scavenger hunt by the social media team, and so we had to. What were the things we had to do?
We had to get people to sing Jennifer Lopez songs. Surprisingly,
that went poorly.
No one knows Jennifer Lopez songs.
I was going to say I am.
I don't know a single one.
I don't either. You only know that because the social media guys told you.
Jenny from the Block.
That's the one. Yeah.
I used to have a little. Now I have a lot. Now I'm just Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, that's
it. We all knew it. We just wanted to hear you.
That's what all the players did to him too. They were like, they knew what he was talking about. We did that. We were supposed to try to get
we ate Pringles with Byron Pringle.
That was the first one. That was a highlight. It was actually funny because like all the Chiefs were coming out of this like main area where they were being introduced, and they were walking out into. The area to go to their podiums and everything, and like Robbie, our social media guy, goes, Byron Pringle, come here! like calls out Byron Pringle out of everybody else, and we're like, hey, we need you to eat some Pringles if that's cool. And if he gets violently ill this week, it's on us, 100%.
We got Chris Jones to say some dirty things, because we asked him about his wardrobe malfunction at the Combine.
I wrote that blog back in the day.
And
you did?
Yeah.
That thing did a ton of traffic.
It definitely did a ton of traffic. And I hope the social can... use everything he said, because he did get borderline.
Oh, he had a PR guy come up to him afterwards.
The PR guy looked at him like, dude, why are you saying these words?
I was worried he was like going to get angry. He was hilarious. But Breach asked him about it, and he goes, you know, I'll just say this. I don't think it could have happened to a better guy. Which we start cracking up. And then he said a couple more things that were funny, and he goes, I'll just say one more thing. If you're going to go balls out.
Nice.
We're like, oh my god! And then like the PR guy goes, and like comes flying in. And he's like, what did they ask? He's like, oh, I asked him about the time my junk fell out of the combine. I asked him about Philip Rivers.
Poor PR guy. Like, if the Chiefs are monitoring these, they're like, dude, you're fired. Like, we made, can't let him say that.
We made people do the Richard Sherman face from the interception in Super Bowl 49. A couple guys on the defense were like, I'm not messing with Sherm. But a couple guys were like, oh yeah, Sherm's hilarious.
Patrick Mahomes impressions.
Yeah, that got awkward. Eric Fisher wanted to punch me.
We thought Eric Fisher was going to murder Brinson on
the spot. He was legitimately not happy.
That would have been worth the content.
We're like, will you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I would have taken a hit from Eric Fisher.
We've seen you on CBS HQ getting choked out by a
Brinson
wrestler.
Will do anything for
so
content.
I was like, can you do the Patrick Mahomes impression? He was like, I'm not going to do that to my boy. I was like, oh, okay. Well, like, maybe you could just say ketchup is weird and I like it on steaks. And he's like, well, do you think he sounds different? I was like, yeah, he sounds like, and he's like,
no, like, he was like, impression of what? Like,
yeah, he's trying to trap me. And I just did like an impression of Mahomes. It was like a very bad one. He's like, that's not very nice. And it just got awkward, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
man.
That is awkward.
It was weird. It was not
good. How did it end?
Extremely awkward.
I said something along the lines of, that was kind of a terrible impression, and then walked away.
Hey, congrats to you just cutting bait and not trying to, you gotta let that go.
Oh, we asked, Anthony Sherman.
Number 42.
To read the Shermanator, what was the?
Shermanator Pledge from American Pie.
And he's like, what is that again?
Well, first he knew it.
The social team killing it.
We were like,
have you
seen American Pie? He was like, obviously. Yeah. And we're like, do you know the Shermanator? He said, yeah. We're like, do you know the Shermanator Pledge? He's like, I don't know it by heart, but I know it. And so we're like, you read it.
Yeah.
So Robbie, our social guy, pulls it up and like, the Shermanator Pledge is the most sexual thing in the world.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a sexual robot sent from the future to like dominate.
Did he say it?
No, he goes, I'm not reading this. Are you nuts? Yeah. And then he goes,
was like, I am a sexual robot sent from the future.
I did not say that.
And then it got awkward again.
He said, I didn't say that.
By the way, Devo, cut out the Brinson says and just have John Breach say that.
Let's see, what else was on there, Breach?
Frank Clark telling you suck at your job.
That was funny. So they were like, you gotta have Frank Clark. Yeah. They're like, you gotta get Frank Clark to yell at you. So Frank Clark was actually like just having the time of his life.
Yeah.
So I get over there and there's a, you know, like you can always tell at media night how there's a guy who's writing us. I don't know why I'm telling JJ. He's not, doesn't have a headset on, but you can always tell when there's a guy, like there's a guy who's going around to every podium. He's like, you know, the cover three shell is a difficult concept to deal with from a schematic. It's like, we get it. You're writing a film article and you're asking every player about it publicly to sound smart. We get it. Well, this guy comes up, he goes, no, you know, the 49ers do use a lot of motion in their offense. Frank Clark goes, 90% of the time. I was like, whoa, is that PFF?
He was also
goes,
so
no,
annoyed.
That's in my head.
He was trying to end that conversation, nip it in the bud.
Yeah, he's like,
just like, I'm at media night. Can I get a media night question? I want something fun here.
But it was like crazy that he knows exactly how often they run motion. So then I was like, listen, Frank, we're doing the scavenger hunt. We need you to yell at me and tell me that I'm bad at my job and a terrible writer. Would you mind doing that? He goes, no problem. I goes, you're terrible at your job. You're a terrible writer. You should be fired.
And so at this point, people start looking over like, holy crap, what just happened?
And I hope someone aggregates it.
Yes, Frank Clark, he had to be like, oh, they asked me to do it. He put his hands up like,
Chief,
they asked me to
Chief
do it.
Chief D screams at writer to like get fired.
And then they put the tweet in there that you made about, what's the tweet they got in trouble for last
Odell?
Week? Yeah, the Odell tweet.
We're really trying to get him fired.
Why are you bringing that up, man?
People just forgot about that, man.
I know.
That's what I'm here for. You hate to see it.
I did, it was a Bill Barnwell's pod or something, and like, the first reply was like, I hope you endure it. I was like, oh, come on, like, move along.
You did the pod, and ESPN was like, sorry, we can't have you on anymore because of the Odell tweet.
Please, get out of here. Breach, more importantly, so we're talking to, Anthony Zettel. Right?
Yeah.
And, it's a long night, man. And, Breach is like, we kept like, we're struggling to like ask these players if one of the things is get a piggyback ride from an NFL player. We're like, they're not going to do this. It's like Super Bowl week. Like, what if they like wrench their back out giving a Breach a piggyback ride?
More content. And also, I'm in the suit. Like, I don't want to give him a piggyback ride.
I'm not jumping on another man's back in this. You will never be taken seriously.
So then Robbie's like, well, if they say no, that's fine because we'll put that in our social video. So we need you to ask at least one person this. And so Brent and I are looking around like, who do we ask? We see Anthony Zettel, who has this like Miami Vice hat on. We're like, that guy will.
Turns out he's a former college classmate of Debo's.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So we're talking to Zettel and I was like, hey, listen, one of the other things is a piggyback ride. Would you mind giving John a piggyback ride? And he flips it on, he goes, why don't you give me a piggyback?
He's like, I'm not gonna do that, but you can give me one. And everybody, it was awkward and I had to answer quickly and I was like, it's all for content, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And he just like jumps on my back and literally.
Breach got down in like a full squat and was like, okay, I think I'm good. And like, there's video of this and it's gonna be incredible because Zettel is like big. And he's like on Breach's back and Breach goes, okay, I think I got it.
And
he's
for
like,
people who don't know, Breach is not big.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, I'm going to take two steps. He goes, thunk, thunk, and like got down. And then Zettel looks at us. He goes, he's about to start sweating like crazy.
Yeah, as soon as I get back to there, I'm like Googling chiropractors in Miami. I'm like, my God, I can barely move right
Diva,
now.
Diva, what is Zettel's measurables?
A chiropractor?
You have his vertical.
It's like 6'4". 230 or something?
258, according
to. And while we were not recording, Breach speculated he might be half the weight of that, so.
Yeah, Breach speculated he might be at least 125 pounds.
I was going to say 100 pounds lighter. See, it says 258, so I'm probably 158? About 158, 160, yeah.
Anyway, back to the actual content at hand here. It is worth noting, because we haven't mentioned on the podcast yet, our last podcast that we recorded, oh gosh, we didn't think about that. We recorded a mailbag for Monday. On Sunday night, Kobe Bryant tragically passed at the age of 41 in a helicopter accident. It was, I mean, I would say it's one of the three most shocking, stunning, sports stories of the last...
Ever?
Ever, 50 years? I don't know, man. Like, everybody I've talked to, friends who are not big NBA fans or friends who are not big, we're not Lakers fans or anything like that, are like, this has stunned me more than I expected.
Yeah, I was not a Kobe fan growing up. Like, I did not like Kobe as a player, which is, a sign of respect towards him. Like, you would always, yeah. You would just dread when the team you wanted to win was playing against him. But when I found out that news, I was, running errands before coming down here, and I just, sat in the parking lot of a Target, just, trying to process it, because I think Tyrann Mathieu tonight had the best quote. It was, I'm paraphrasing, but it was, I didn't think guys like that would ever die.
Yeah.
That's, you think of these guys as immortal in a
Kobe
way.
Kobe was a killer. In a metaphorical sense on the court. The Mamba mentality was I'm going to outwork you, out hustle you, outplay you, and there's no one who will ever beat me. And it was never going to be possible I don't think it'll ever be possible, even as good as LeBron James is, to surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest player of all time. But Kobe was never going, would refuse to quit trying. Pulled in 81 against the Raptors famously. Won an Oscar right before he died. He, of course, it was his 13-year-old daughter and other people on the helicopter. I mean, the whole thing is just an unspeakable tragedy. But you knew that they were going to honor him before this media night. And they did that with, I think they could have, it was very good. They did a moment of silence for Kobe Bryant. Fans started chanting Kobe. I would have liked to have seen something maybe 8 seconds, a very specific
24 seconds, like or 24 the shot clock violations. That
yeah.
They did,
well, he did 8 and 24, yeah. Obviously both. Breach, did you think that it tampered or dampened the mood at all in terms of how media night approached? I was actually surprised. It was less so than I thought, but people maybe 24 hours out after the shock of the news seemed to be willing to talk about, Kobe, but B, it's not like anybody was down the, the players were still enjoying being at the Super Bowl and the experience without.
I would say if anything, it toned down the craziness of media night by 20%.
Yeah. That's
usually media night is just nuts. It's a total circus. This year.
There was a certain respect level.
Yes. It seemed calmer. And players knew they were going to be asked about Kobe. And you know, you can't walk in there wearing a clown costume. When the guy next to you is asking about Kobe.
Right.
And so people were respectful of that, and you didn't have people asking crazy questions and being ridiculous when conversations like that were going on. So everybody realized there was kind of time and a place, and that when these things were happening, don't interrupt and be respectful. And that is not, that kind of decorum does not usually exist at media night, but it did, on Monday night. And so I think that was the big difference.
We talked about how we, did a bunch of stupid stuff with players, but we would walk up to him and there was a couple times you'd walk up and you could hear a Kobe question being answered. You're like, let's hang out and see, how the you didn't want to dive in on a very thoughtful answer about Kobe Bryant.
Right.
With something
you move on to another player or you waited out for a while. You don't dive in.
We actually weighed in on Kobe a little bit on the 2 p.m. show on Monday that you can watch on CBS Sports HQ. Sean, you mentioned it. I don't know if you had any thoughts on Kobe specifically or. What year were you born?
93.
92? 92. Come on.
I keep getting around.
You were 4 years old when Kobe started playing.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why for me, this is the most jarring, celebrity, famous person death that I've ever had to deal with because, for as long as I've watched basketball, there's always been Kobe Bryant. And I was a big, Allen Iverson was my guy growing up. And part of the reason why I never liked Kobe is because when AI carried that Sixers team to the finals, they lost to the Lakers in 5 games. And that's pretty much why I didn't like Kobe, for the rest of his career, because I loved Allen Iverson and I wanted him to get a championship and he never got it because of that Lakers team. And so it doesn't feel like that long ago that he even retired. Like, I have so many vivid memories of him beating the Celtics in that incredible Game 7.
Yeah.
That low-scoring Game 7 where he went off in, like, the final 8 minutes. Like, I have – all of my basketball memories are tied to Kobe. So, like, that's how I – like, you don't have to be a fan of the player or, like, had to root for him during his career for that to, like, impact you. And all these players reciting are, like, kind of around my age. Like, they're – you know, 27 to 30 or, you know, 24 to 32.
Right. And it cross sports too. Like, for instance, LeSean McCoy, Shady, who's a, you know, is a Philly guy. And you have Kobe, who's a huge Eagles fan. Like, Kobe lost his mind when he won the Super Bowl. Our own Debo doing some hardcore journalism stuff.
Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Capital J.
Went and talked to, LeSean McCoy about Kobe Bryant.
That's tough, yo. I'm saying, like, seriously, like, I'm still hurt. Like, I talked to DeSean Jackson about it yesterday. You know, it's like things that you don't, we take, like, especially football and sports in general as athletes, like, what's so important is, like, oh, we lost or we won. We had 100 yards. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. But it's like, yeah, real stuff that really matters. Like, he has daughters. He got a wife. Like, all that stuff you don't even think about. You know, I mean, people know him because of how great he was as a basketball player, but it's other stuff that you think about.
You talked about,
and, as Debo points out in this tweet, and you can follow Debo at @E_DEBERARDINIS.
You gotta rebrand.
No 07?
I think you need to go Debo pick six. Oh. What do you think?
Debo pick 607.
We should vote on it.
Yeah. But Shady also said that, like, because he was, you know, an Eagles guy, like, if he went to Sixers Lakers games, Kobe would, like, look at him and, like, wink. And like, would send him all kinds of swag, like Kobe swag, because, so it is just wild how this whole generation of people, like, well, athletes have been affected
just
by this.
One little quick tangent about Kobe. Like, my most vivid Kobe Bryant memory was when, it's like really, it was his last ever game. And at the time I had been in the East Bay for a while, and that was the same day the Warriors won their 73rd game on the final day of the season. And just to show, like, Kobe transcended teams. Like, there were just Kobe fans, right? Like, you didn't have to be a Laker fan. You were just a Kobe fan. I was in a Berkeley bar, Berkeley's, you know, 20 minutes away from Oracle Arena, so it's right in Warriors territory. And we went to watch the Warriors win their 73rd game as fans. And this is a Berkeley bar, so it's primarily Warriors fans, but there's some people from Southern California. One of the TVs in that bar had the Lakers game on. By the third quarter, no one was watching the Warriors game, and the entire bar was living and dying with every single shot Kobe put up.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember I was one of the only ones watching the Warriors game still, because I was just never a big Kobe fan. But I remember just being, like, that was probably the first time in my life, it took until his last game, that I was able to witness, like, what Kobe meant to so many people. Because I was sitting there watching the Warriors game, and no one was, it was kind of a close game. They were playing Memphis, I remember, until late in the fourth quarter, the Warriors pulled away. And I was like, this, they're going for the record. No one's won 73 games. And everyone is just screaming and yelling and shouting with every Kobe, shot and yelling Kobe every time he shot the ball. People would just yell Kobe.
Like, the thing about Kobe that was so amazing is, like, he was this, there were some people who didn't like him because he was, like, I don't call him, like, a selfish chuffer.
Well, the Shaq, but, like, he was like, running the Shaq out of town.
Yeah, they had, like, Shaq and Kobe stuff. But, like, Kobe, when Kobe got on a heater, he was putting up shots, and they were going in. And it was, like, crazy. Like, he'd have that fadeaway three for, like, 3 feet beyond the arc, just a complete heat check that would always drop. And he inspired a bunch of people. For instance, George Kittle said that if he scores,
you know, Kobe was, other than my parents, like, he was the reason I played sports. Just his mindset, his, you know, the mama mentality. And I wore the number 24 in high school, like my freshman, sophomore year, because of him. And I wore Kobe Bryant basketball shoes because of Kobe Bryant. Every time I laced up my basketball shoes, I felt like I had Kobe Bryant with me. I had a little part of him. I had his jumper. I had his fadeaway. The amount of hours I spent practicing that fadeaway from the corner. And I never made it, but I tried, and I always thought I was Kobe. So, like, I mean, he's an icon. He was a hero of mine, and the world's not a better place without him. But I think the impact that he has, he's gonna change a lot. You know, just with his life, and I'm definitely sad, and it just sucks, honestly.
Kittle also said that he planned on doing a Kobe motion if he scores. Wilson, you were there this evening. You weren't working. You're just sort of wandering around, not really even talking to anybody. It's a little weird, but I'm sure you got a grade on the evening. What'd you do? What'd you think? Tell me one thing you did first.
I'll tell you what I told.
That beer's settling in, JJ. I think he's got the.
What are you talking about?
Well, by the way, while we were, we had to take a break because Wilson spilled a beer on himself.
Yes, that's why we took the break.
Hey, we've all had our first beer before. Let's not judge. Come on.
Act like you've been there before. No, I thought it was actually a good evening for me. So I give it an A plus.
A personal A plus. Yeah. What was your favorite thing you saw?
No, seriously though, it was actually good for me because I didn't talk to many players. I did talk the first player I talked to along with our guy Jamie Eisenberg. We talked to Darwin Thompson, the day three pick last year at Utah State, and I talked to him about how things were going this year for him. He didn't play a lot, but more importantly, he played last year with Jordan Love, and Jordan Love is going to be probably a first-round pick. So he actually brought this up. He compared Jordan Love to Patrick Mahomes, so that's something to look out for wow. As we move towards the draft process. But he also talked about...
By the way, we saw Andrew Perloff of the Dan Patrick Show, Pick Six podcast listener, noted hater of Sean, millennial Sean.
But also noted Bengals fan. So now Andrew and I are best friends. Yeah. I have a comrade. I am going to chat him every Sunday.
Well, just real quick, it's still very early, but I got to year later, my Mahomes take has aged very well.
That's what I told him. I told him. I said, I was like, you know what's crazy is like that Mahomes Favre thing is like aging quite well for Sean.
It's only been 1 year, and I understand that was the whole point. It's like slow down, but 1 year, it's a check in my column.
Hey, what do you think? You watch Game of Thrones, right, JJ? What do you think about Sean having a Jumpman Arya sticker on the back of his phone?
That's a lot.
can we hear him on this?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
JJ, you've only met me a couple times. Like in a few months, you won't think that's a lot.
But you guys have a lot in common. It's fine. Moving along.
I have no idea what that's supposed to mean.
You spent time in a press box together once.
Oh, I thought you were saying me and Arya have a lot in common. No.
I didn't hear. I'm really disappointed. I didn't hear one word Andy Reid said. Did you get to talk to him, Debo?
Oh, I have. I wrote down one thing Andy Reid said that is very relevant to this podcast.
Perfect.
He's a Pick Six listener.
Maybe Breach. Maybe because he was talking about he wore that Hawaiian shirt, that red shirt that he like
Tommy
always
Bahama.
Wears. Yes, and they asked him about it, and he talked about how he likes that no dress code, except he said no Speedos, which is very relevant because John Breach has been talking about how we're all going to wear Speedos on this trip.
That is, we're literally going to do
it. But now Andy Reid has slammed the door shut. No Speedos, John.
We're
podcasting
Friday from the beach in Speedos, and we'll invite Andy Reid.
No, we're not wearing Speedos, bro.
What is it with you and the Speedos?
I brought a pair for everyone, guys. I brought a pair for everyone.
Speedos aren't in pairs? What are you talking about?
It's like a pair of socks.
But it's a single Speedo.
A pair of jeans.
No, it's
a pair of jeans.
You don't say a pair of Speedo.
Yeah. Do you say a pair of swim trunks?
Is a Speedo expert here?
Yeah, he's got you there.
A pair of jeans is a good point.
Thank you.
But do you say a pair of swim trunks?
Dunked on.
No, you say swim trunks.
You don't say a pair of
swimsuits?
Also, who says swim trunks?
Yeah, no one
apparently
says
swim trunks. Apparently I do. No one else says?
Sean's cut off.
Well, would my fellow friends care to go put on their swim trunks?
You did that same invitation for someone else 10 minutes ago. You got a diversify.
Would you care? So anyway, who saw Andy Reid? Was he very jovial?
This is what I wrote down because I was watching on TV when Andy Reid was
talking. Have we talked about the fact that Andy Reid once gave a mac and cheese recipe to an SB Nation writer in an airport? Because it's amazing. Like, that's the best story of all time.
That's what you should be leading with.
Charles McDonald, who's at 4Verts on Twitter, it's a good follow, but like, he met Andy Reid in an airport and he started talking about Thanksgiving meals. And eventually he's texting with Andy Reid. Andy Reid's like, here are my five favorite cheeses to put in mac and cheese. Fontina, very good choice.
If we're going to talk about Andy Reid, though, we should talk about the guy who dressed up like Andy Reid.
Mm, good point.
Punt, pass, and kick, 1974 Andy Reid version.
Yeah.
Where do you even get a 1974 Rams outfit?
Who was the most awkward person we talked to? Was it Matt Moore or Eric Fisher?
Which one was going to beat you up?
Andy Reid.
By the way, Eric Fisher.
What did you say about Andy Reid?
I mean, it's fine. It wasn't like a groundbreaking, spotlight thing. It was just, he reminds me in a way that, like, they tried to, I don't know who I was asking the questions. Try to bait him into like saying a couple like headline worthy things. Like they asked him about like the demise of the Patriots. Does this feel like, they're turning the page? And he of course isn't like going to answer that and he doesn't address that. And, like he reminds me so much of like kind of Bill Belichick in the sense that like he's so determined he's not going to give you anything. The difference between the two is that when Belichick does it, it looks like he's having open heart surgery. Like he just wants to like, he hates the process of being there. And Andy Reid is just so joyful and so relaxed that he's such a joy that like you just watch him and you get calm just by watching him.
Belichick is usually really good at these media night things. He's done 9 of them, so like it's not hard to do. But he's sort of like open and kind of goofy, and then he tightens up a little bit. I thought that there was a remarkable difference between the Chiefs and the 49ers in terms of their energy on the floor. I don't know about you guys. To me, the Chiefs were much more buttoned up and felt much more focused on the game, and the 49ers felt like they were there to sort of enjoy it. Now, that may be a veteran team versus a younger team thing. Would you agree?
No, I have a thought, and this.
Well, here, why don't you talk?
Yes, we got Brenton off the pod finally.
So I have a thought, and it relates because I spent 2 weeks out in San Francisco with them, and what I came to learn was that these guys are obviously incredibly loose. So like Kwon Alexander plays the music on the Bluetooth speaker before the game. Kendrick Bourne is always dancing. Deebo Samuel always dancing. And then there are other guys who are trying to put their music on or whatever. Before the Vikings game, I was like, oh boy, these guys are really loose and none of them have been there before. And I had just seen the Vikings against the Saints where the Vikings went 10 of 18 on third down, didn't give the ball back to Drew Brees in the Superdome in overtime. I was like, I don't know about all that. And then they go out and stomp them out. And after I saw that, I was like, okay, these cats are for real. And so this is what they do. And having seen it like up close for the last 2 weeks, I was like, all right, so that they came out, and Brenton, I think that you're mostly right. I thought that they were kind of similar, both teams, but if I had to say one was looser than the other, I would say the 49ers were, but that does not at all surprise me because that's their formula, and they are just absolutely crushing teams to the point where Jimmy Garoppolo is getting texts from all of his buddies back home being like, hey, is your arm sore? After the NFC Championship game.
Just on that note, I don't know if you guys read the Athletic story on
also
Richard
for the
Sherman.
Record, just real quickly to interrupt you one more time. We don't have a fifth headset. That's why JJ is, I handed him my headset.
And on a Jimmy Garoppolo note, he
it's
gave,
not like we don't want JJ to be on the podcast.
He gave out some tips on how to be handsome. Deebo got some tips on how to be handsome. I would encourage everyone to go to Debo's Twitter and listen to that. Because who doesn't want to look handsome?
Sucking up.
Who wouldn't want to look handsome?
Sucking up. What are you?
I'm sucking up to anybody. It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
We don't want to get into this. Okay.
You're not as handsome as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, none of us are as handsome as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Speak for yourself.
Well, what do you think those tips were?
Yeah, it's a good start.
I've heard that a lot. Yeah, the story's starting to sound familiar.
Yeah. All right. So I would start there. Get some nice clothes. Big part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, have the attire, right?
Sharp dress men.
And fresh haircut.
Fresh haircut?
Those three things, you should be good.
What was the first thing? Wait, so you need facial hair.
That's fine.
A new haircut.
Just grew a
and
beard
some sharp
in
dress
November.
Clothes.
Yeah, but you're not dressed sharp.
I'm not.
So what I was going to say.
Sean has a fresh haircut, unfortunately, incapable of growing facial hair.
Not incapable. Incapable of growing facial hair that doesn't look creepy.
You want
me to get a little wispy mustache going?
By the way, there's a bet before the podcast that I couldn't interrupt you 342 times.
What was I going to say?
I got the
JJ
over.
Wilson, made it.
Wilson's
oh,
drinking
Jesus
every
Christ.
Time someone interrupts Sean. That's how
I need to go to the hospital.
Wilson's actually going to like this story. So Wilson's JJ was talking about how loose the 49ers were. I don't know if you guys read The Athletic. I think it was David Lombardi wrote on Richard Sherman, just his journey through college and to this point. And Sherman was actually talking about how in free agency, when he was coming off the Achilles tear, he met with the 49ers, and the Lions had a bigger offer on the table. And the reason he chose the 49ers is because he met with Kyle Shanahan for a really long dinner and drinks, and they had a great time. He was like, we would have been out till 2 a.m. if Kyle Shanahan didn't have to get home to the kids. And he said that he didn't felt like he could do that in Detroit because of Matt Patricia in the Bill Belichick system. I try to tell the story. No one, Ryan's
I'm
getting
listening.
Up. JJ is coordinating
Ryan's,
it. Ryan's laughing.
The podcast listeners are listening.
Ryan,
we don't have to
I'm listening.
And so I just find that interesting because he said, I'm the kind of guy who like, I can't go 100%, like 120% in warm-ups and practice. Like I will be ready for the game, but like that's not going to be me. Like I want to listen to my music. I want to have fun. And I wasn't going to be able to do that in Detroit in a Bill Belichick New England type of systems. But,
oh,
so he was like, would I rather, at the time, look, no one knew the 49ers, 2 years later, were going to be this good. He was like, would I rather?
Well, Sherman jumped on the year when everyone was on the 49ers.
Yeah, and then
year.
Garoppolo tears his ACL, but he was like, would I rather go there and like not have fun and not be able to be myself, or would I rather go here where Shanahan understands me and will let me be myself? And he was like, I'd rather do that.
That's my whole argument for why the Richard Sherman contract is perfectly fine. Like, he bettered himself.
He gets motivation from that too.
Right. But like, he was like, this job looks like it's going to be awesome. I get to play my old team twice a year. I don't have to move very far. I want to play for a coach that I really like in a system. They're going to give me a bunch of freedom as a veteran. I'm going to be the leader of the defense. And if I ball out and make an all-pro team first or second, I'm getting the $3 million bonus.
Another fun tidbit from that story is that, so he went, what, fourth or fifth round to the Seahawks? Nope. Don't interrupt me.
Fifth round.
And I guess after he signed with the 49ers, Jed York, the owner, said that they had a third round grade on Sherman originally, but Harbaugh had like veto power and talked them out of it.
Because
Harbaugh and obviously Sherman were at Stanford and they butted head at times.
Is that Richard Sherman played in the Senior Bowl and Marvin Lewis was on the Senior Bowl coaching staff, and Sherman did something wrong and Marvin Lewis said, that's why you're not getting drafted. That's why you're not going to effing play in this league. So Marvin Lewis told Sherman he wasn't going to play in the NFL.
The kicker of that is in Sherman's first ever start came against the Bengals, and he intercepted Andy Dalton for his first career interception. And he threw the ball. Impressive. He gave the ball to Marvin Lewis, and that's the only interception ball he's never kept.
Really?
Yes.
He intercepted the ball and ran it over and threw it to Marvin Lewis?
Yeah, well, he somehow gave it to Marvin Lewis. That was the story. So
who was it who told me? Oh, man, who was I talking to? It was,
while you're thinking about this, I want to give Brent some props. Pro tip, bring your own soap. Nice job.
I like Dove soap.
That's
Dove
a strong move.
I respect it. It's for a week. It's too, you know, you got to make some sacrifices. Yeah. Soap's not on the list for me.
I bring my own baby wipes.
You bring your own.
I bring my own.
That's Jonathan Jones.
Do you also bring your own baby?
Wait.
What do you use the baby wipes? Like, what do you?
Have you ever used?
I don't use baby wipes on myself.
Wait, so am I to understand that when you say you bring your own baby wipes, do you?
I don't have a child.
Right.
So
the baby wipes are used.
See? Thank you, Brenton. Brenton's wondering the same thing as I.
I know.
I like to treat myself.
No. So like, if you have a kid, you're like, what have we been using this single ply for years when these baby wipes, they can't flush them?
No, you can. That's why I was getting
flushable. No, that's not a real thing. I talked to somebody in sanitation, flushable baby wipes, not a real thing.
Talked to someone in sanitation about this.
There's in Raleigh, they say flushable, not really flushable. It's a game changer.
I'm sorry.
Well, when they move the Super Bowl to Europe, then we'll have bidets in our,
No, it's a game, it is, it will change your life.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
I travel, this is the only thing that I do travel with. I have a travel pack and then I have the big pack.
Are people like, sir, did you forget your baby at the gate when you go through security?
Absolutely
you have a big
not. They don't ask any questions because apparently they all understand what's going on, but you, Sean, don't.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Sean, it sounds like we gotta have a talk about this after we're done recording.
Sean's sitting there uncomfortable as hell. He ain't been comfortable
so,
in 10 years.
So when you see JJ at Sam's Club pushing two shopping carts full of baby wipes, he's just stocking up.
He's
for
like, hello, ladies.
And honestly, every time I go to the Target near my house in Charlotte and I get the big thing of baby wipes, I always wonder if I'm going to run into a former, like, flame, and they're going to be like, oh, that's where life's taking you.
You have seven babies.
And to be clear, the Target that JJ is going to is probably stocked with, like, attractive motherly people who are like, why is this guy buying baby wipes?
One of the Tinder targets.
Yeah. Like, because you're not married, you don't have a wedding ring. You're just stocking up on baby wipes. Which not that there's anything wrong with having a baby and not being married, but like, you know, a single man at Target loading up a cart with baby wipes is that's an interesting. Sean, you should check out baby wipes. Anyway, Devo's over here, head and hands, knows that it's all coming to an end soon.
Not much longer now.
So now all we need is a baby wipe sponsorship for the podcast,
or a dude wipes.
One wipe Charlie's.
Dude, what? One wipe Charlie.
That's with Shave Club for Men. Dollar Shave Club.
So anyway, apparently Nick Bosa was asked about Baker Mayfield. It was like, he's like, listen, I just don't like the guy. Like, I can't stand him. He's like, and they were like, what do you think about the fact that he's on like every commercial every other day? He's like, it's just too much. Like, he's like, I know I'm not supposed to say anything, but I'm going to say it anyway, and sort of lash out at Baker Mayfield. So that was exciting as well. Do we have to take a break?
How long has it been?
34 minutes. 3 hours, Debo. How long, Debo? 40. No, I'm just kidding. 40 minutes. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk some NFL news and wrap up this podcast.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, so let's wrap this bad boy up by talking about the final thoughts on opening night. I would say let's give out one big winner and one loser each. How about that? We gotten good at that. I'm going to call myself a winner. Let's see y'all surprise.
He's stealing my thunder. That's my thing.
Because I was able to discreetly snag a photo of John Breach's credential when it popped up on the screen. Have you seen you seen John Breach's credential?
Yes. That wasn't the only thing that you secretly snapped a photo of.
I also took a picture of a shirtless Ryan Wilson.
Oh, you did do that.
Have, you, have you seen John's credential? Oh,
yeah,
I put it
there. I saw both of these photos, yeah.
John, we need an explanation of, like, how much PCP you were on.
Well, this was a long time ago. I don't know. The picture isn't as recent as it should be. It's the only
have
one
you
I had
seen this?
Saved on my computer. And the thing is, I see everyone, they grab it, and they look at it, and they look at me, and they look at it, and they look at me. And then they're like,
you're clearly drunk.
It's close enough.
Look at
it's this, a bad fake ID.
Yeah, look at him.
It looks like he's at prom.
Yeah. You look like you're hammered after prom. You're like, or like got arrested after prom. What I want to know is like, why are you like, okay, that's the picture I should send to the NFL.
You didn't send it though, right?
No, I did send it.
Oh, I think said EK sent it.
So we got the email that we need to send in our credentials. We do, so we get sent a link and then we have to pick a picture to upload, but it has to be a clear headshot. And so like,
that's the only headshot
my computer. Otherwise, I would have to like,
you have a phone with a camera on it?
No, you can't take a selfie.
I'm with you, Breach. It takes me a while to find a headshot that
you
use.
You've lost your mind. I took a, last year.
I have one that I always use.
Last year we got an email. It was like, if you don't get a picture in right now, you're not going to be able to get your credential on time. I just took a picture of myself in my living room wearing like a hoodie that I put
on. Boom, done. Look how handsome that guy is.
Man.
Yuck. Yeah, well, we know my
that was a picture of Wilson.
That is why I don't take selfies. That's my selfie with KC Wolf, the Chiefs mascot.
Let me see.
You can't see him and you can't see me.
What is wrong? Why did you tweet it?
Because it was so bad. Literally the worst selfie in the history.
So give me
of
a winner, Breach. That's my winner.
My loser's Wilson because you have a blackmail photo of him without his shirt off.
Yeah, that was too far.
That is definitely...
Wilson looked pretty good with his shirt off.
Well, he's like, I don't comparing it to the August picture of you, so.
Too far?
I mean, I'm fat right now.
I thought Jimmy Garoppolo was a winner. I thought he was so laid back, answering chill questions, you know, giving out handsome tips on... That guy could start his own magazine, couldn't he? Okay. Sean, who's handsomer, Brenton or Garoppolo?
What? How is this even a question?
Wow.
It's obviously Jimmy Garoppolo. I know. Brenton's not flattered he's even in the same question.
Easy. It's Garoppolo.
I think Brenton's just flattered he got in the conversation.
I'm a little weirded out.
No. It was supposed to be.
Yeah. You know how far apart are you guys?
It was supposed to be easy. It was supposed to be easy answer for Sean, and the fact that he hesitated.
You know what it is? It's but he was trying to figure out who in this room he could be like. All right, it's like reasonably close to Jimmy Garoppolo.
All right, I think the biggest winner was Anthony Zettel because he had a piggyback ride from me.
That's true. Sean, winner.
The Super Friends back together again for the first time since August.
For the last time ever.
What's happening? Because Prince is getting fired.
What?
No, because we can't podcast together. It gets out of hand.
My real winner. I'm going to say Richard Sherman. I think I'm going to kind of cheat and just go like the full year with this week, like being the culminating event for him. Like this year for me solidified, like this is the year Sherman was always known for his Seattle. Everything he did there, but the fact that he took
solidified a Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, like I think there's no doubt now that he is going to be known as the best cornerback of the decade. And what I thought was really interesting,
he bodied Darrell Revis on Twitter.
Well, I mean, we did our all decade team, and he got the edge over Darrell Revis. Wow. And Darrell Revis actually that day it came out tweeted out a bunch of stuff, so I actually think he saw our list,
probably,
and that's why he started tweeting about it. I was taking notes.
Good job of you to go with Richard Sherman as a winner, but like sneak yourself in as I'm sort of a winner because Darrell Revis read my all decade piece.
Right.
That's true that I made everyone do and then I got all the credit for it by copy and pasting your answers.
That's you.
I didn't give answers.
That's true. You broke some ties. You and Breach broke some ties. But a lot of people were asked about Richard Sherman tonight and every single person was everyone on the Chiefs was complimentary towards him. It was almost like, yes, obviously they should be complimentary towards him, everything that he's done, including this season and last season off of torn Achilles at age 31. Like that feels really overlooked.
Yeah.
But it almost felt like a thing where it's like, we're not going to give this guy any extra motivation because we actually know how much he feeds off of it. Like Tyreek Hill was like, I respect this guy. Like
no, Tyreek Hill was after Richard Sherman. He was like, listen, you understand. This guy's great.
I want to swap jerseys with him after the game, and like he shuts down everyone. I can't wait to play against him. Like they were just like, we're not giving give him any more extra motivation that he needs. Like it's like the sign of ultimate respect. Like in past Super Bowls, it's always been like Brady's been that guy who's like he's the guy that's there,
not
that's been
going
there
to say,
over and over again.
Like people are like, no, are you surprised that Tom Brady's back here at his age? Yeah. Like begging somebody to be like, well, maybe he won't be that good for that long.
Everyone on these two teams is really inexperienced in terms of Super Bowl, that it feels like it's Sherman who is like that guy out of everyone on both teams that is the guy that's been here before. This is his third Super Bowl. He's won one before.
We made people do Richard Sherman faces, by the way.
We also asked Jimmy Ward about how important it was to have a guy like Sherman who had already been to multiple Super Bowls. He seemed pretty stoked.
He did. Fred Wagner, too, was like, man, you don't understand, like having a guy like that.
Warner?
Fred Ward, did I say Wagner? Jeez, who's Fred Wagner?
Fred Wagner McGuff.
Sean Warner McGuff.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. You probably meant Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, I did, because you know what? They asked, right after that, Fred Warner was asked about who the best linebacker in football is, and said mentioned Bobby Wagner immediately. So, my apologies. Also, I've been drinking for 2 hours.
So, anyways, I just think this year is the year Sherman needed. I think if he had this year, he'd be in the Hall of Fame conversation. He'd get in eventually. I think this has solidified it. When he retires, he's going to be first ballot.
But what's kind of interesting about Sherman, too, is that so his first Super Bowl was Super Bowl 48 in New York. And, I mean, we all – that was Breach's first Super Bowl as well. Ryan's third Super Bowl.
I was working in the Daily Cow editing with Riley McAtee, who's with The Ringer. I remember we watched that game together in the office together.
Get it. Humble brag.
Just TBT, dude. Two people in college.
I mean, I saw Kevin Clark and Robert Mays.
I'm not humble bragging. I'm just pointing out that, like,
more importantly,
that's all
you know who I was very excited to see? Danny Kelly. Danny Kelly is the man.
Do you think Riley McAtee's telling a story right now somewhere about how he worked at Daily Cow?
Well, no, because he's not on the NFL podcast.
And Roger Sherman.
Not a diss, Riley.
Roger Sherman got the highest possible compliment. So, like, Robbie Snyder, who's our social media guy, goes up to me and goes, "Hey, man, look, I just want you to know, I follow, like, you know, a couple hundred, you know, thousand people on Twitter." He's like, "I don't really like any of them." He's like, "But I like you. I like you on Twitter." This is the ultimate compliment.
Right.
Anyway, we're done name dropping Ringer stuff. I want to point out though that, it's a Sean's thing.
Stop.
We get it. You're first.
I almost dropped an F on.
Sherman, when he came into his first Super Bowl, came immediately off the interview with Aaron Andrews.
And the tip.
He was called a thug by multiple, like, media, like, outlets. And
it's an audio podcast, and no one knows why.
No one knows you pointed at me. Punk.
I didn't point, for the record.
Wilson did. I thought it was an awesome interview. Like, he was like, "Do not come at me. Don't come at me."
Context is he tips it. And then passing it to Crabtree, and then he runs up to Crabtree and, like, offers his hand, and Crabtree won't take it. And then he, like, does the choking symbol, I think, towards Kaepernick, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they beat the 49ers to get there. It was a crazy game. It was the peak of, like, the 49ers, Seahawks rivalry. I mean,
peak Legion of Boom. I mean, honestly.
It was the coming out party for the Legion of Boom. Yeah. And then they throttled Peyton Manning and the Broncos' top offense in the Super Bowl. But, like, Sherman came into that. It's just crazy how it's full circle. Sherman came into that Super Bowl as, like, an not unknown to, like, smart football fans, but, like, he wasn't a superstar, and he became a superstar because of that, and now he's coming in as, like, sort of the older, wiser, veteran guy.
Elder statesman.
Yeah, the elder statesman. Yeah, great call. So who's your winner, Ryan?
Andy Reid showed up getting off the plane in the suit, but he busted out the Hawaiian shirt for media night, and he seemed very calm and relaxed, and I feel like the pressure isn't too much for him. You missed it, Sean. I don't think you watched HQ, the pod today from 2 to 3, but we all danced.
I was on an airplane.
Andy Reid off the bye.
Andy Reid. I missed that.
Andy Reid.
Did someone jiff it?
I don't know. But anyway,
soft G, hard G.
You can watch it on CBS Sports HQ. So it means you can probably
might
watch
be
it
on the YouTube.
We rehearsed beforehand, and Brenton still messed it up.
Well, he probably wasn't paying attention to the rehearsal.
But I feel like the Andy Reid off the bye is a big thing. 19-3 is.
Maybe I messed it up on purpose.
Maybe you did. What's 19-3? What's his record breach? There's a new updated record you had.
23-5.
Okay. 23-5.
Straight up, right?
Straight up. That's what it is. Yes. Thank you. So, he was calm, cool, collected. Debo, how do you feel about Andy Reid's chances, bringing it home to Philly? Debo's very happy about it. I feel pretty good about it too. And he didn't seem overwhelmed. He didn't seem overwhelmed in that Texans game either when they were down 24-0. He seemed quite okay with the idea that he has Patrick Mahomes and Bill O'Brien was the other sideline. Kyle Shanahan is obviously an upgrade over Bill O'Brien, but I feel like this is Andy Reid's year. Started at the media night.
I don't disagree, and I think that I thought it was a great point by JJ about how the 49ers are, like, they're just a loose team. Because I was initially thinking, man, this team's a little too loose. Like, they're a little, like, happy to be here. I just have this – I am on the Chiefs, and I told people you guys picked a preseason, so I'm not trying to claim it, but, like, I told people in this podcast to bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl at 6.5-1 before week 17.
Yeah.
It's great value right now. I am a little concerned.
About the Chiefs?
About the 49ers.
Okay, yeah.
I think
Brent and I might have convinced each other to flip our picks.
Wait, who?
We both picked the Chiefs, and we had to turn our pick in last Tuesday.
You just said you're concerned about the 49ers?
About making his pick wrong.
Oh,
like, you're concerned the 49ers are going to win.
Yes.
So we had to turn our picks in on January.
I really want Patrick. Here's the things I don't want. I don't want an off season of Patrick Mahomes. Is he the new Dan Marino?
Oh, that's so dumb.
If they lose, it will happen. I don't want Andy Reid. Can he win the big one?
That will be a bigger thing than Mahomes' beat, I think.
No, the Mahomes thing will be big, dude.
No, because he at least took it a step further this year. Like, I think
if he has a crap game.
But the thing is, like, he doesn't have crap games. Like, there's like
people talk about Lamar Jackson before they talk about Patrick Mahomes not being able to come through the playoffs.
Mahomes literally, if you look at the metrics, never has bad games. Like, he has great games and he has good games. He never has had a bad game.
Right. So if he craps the bed at the Super Bowl.
I just don't think he will.
Well, I don't either, but like, there's just something gnawing at the back of my mind that makes me a little nervous about it.
No, I'm nervous about it.
And like, the energy that the 49ers have, they're very confident. And they're very good. They're a really good football team.
I don't think anyone should expect this to be a blowout. I think that would be dumb. Like, I think
1 point Super Bowl spreads don't end up a blowout.
No, I mean, I wrote my picks on the plane. They're not published yet, but like, I think I have the Chiefs winning by a touchdown.
I'm going to do 20. What was 24-8 Chiefs?
What was the Seahawks?
You just said you were worried the 49ers.
It's a Kobe homage.
What was the Seahawks? What was the Seahawks Broncos spread?
Ooh, that was actually a 1 point spread.
Was it?
43-8 final?
So, to your point, you can have whoopings, I suppose.
But typically speaking, like,
yeah.
You don't end up with a 1 point. It was a pick. I think it was actually a pick.
If you don't snap the ball into the very first play for
loved,
safety.
Man, I was on Russell to win, like I was on that Seahawks bandwagon early, and Prisco talked me into.
Every time you have an excuse as to why you picked the wrong team.
Well, I'm just telling you my thought process. Prisco talked me, he's like, trust me, when Manning gets the man-to-man matchups, he'll diagnose it. He's going to throw it to those guys, and they're going to be wide open. Like, the Seahawks don't have the speed.
And
then, like, within 5 seconds, like, Cam Chancellor knocks
out Demaryius
Thomas, into the ground. It's like, this game is
over. That was the game ended, too.
Yeah, like, this game
first quarter.
Yeah, like,
it was it was like 5-0.
Why can I live bet this game? Like, I'd be hammering the Seahawks right now. This game is over. And it was over.
Of all the Super Bowls in NFL history that have been point spread under 2.5 points, there's been 7 of them. 6 of them were a one score game in the fourth quarter.
You know the problem with that?
And this Broncos is like Seahawks was the only one that won.
This is like Jeopardy. You didn't say fun fact before you told the. So that doesn't count.
Not a fun fact.
He was helping me dunk on you, and you didn't realize it, and you're laying.
Because he's 4 feet tall and you're 4'6", so there's no dunking going on.
What are you, 4'9"? Get out of here.
Is that taller?
Are you using the metric system?
Yeah.
No, I'm using inches and feet.
I don't think
you're that. You're 3 beer cans tall, man.
I think we've reached the end of the podcast.
We didn't even get to losers on the
Is there any? Is there ever a loser for media night?
How's it a loser?
I mean, Breach got his back broken by a professional footballer.
I would say that I could be a loser.
But it took the...
And my finger is about to break off.
Oh, jeez,
I
came with the finger.
Oh, we also had...
I'm on injured reserve, guys. I'm going to be able to work the Super Bowl.
I'm scared I can't pronounce his three names.
The doctor.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Larry? they were calling him Larry.
Chiefs offensive line.
Duvernay Tardif?
Yeah.
Duvernay Tardif.
Yes. Duvernay Tardif, yeah.
So we go over there and we're like, hey, listen.
Oh, that was a great.
We're doing this scavenger hunt. We're going to read you symptoms. We want you to tell us what the disease is. He's like, oh, this sounds fascinating.
Yes.
He's like, but you have to act out the symptoms.
So Breach goes, Breach goes coughing.
Yeah, he goes coughing. Breach's like coughing. And like, is like making coughing noises and actually coughing. And he's like, liver pains and like goes through it and he goes, okay, so the first thing I would do is,
this is the symptom that would concern me the most because that could mean you're getting ready for liver failure, which could mean inclement death. So this is what I think you might have, but I'd also be worried about this. And me and Brinson are just like, my God, we're learning
like,
things.
Dude, this is
the first time I've ever learned something at media night.
Just say tuberculosis, okay? for the love of God. And so then he was really cool.
He's 28 and he's done all this.
And he's an NFL player and a doctor, and Brinson hosts a podcast.
Yeah.
And I still have a year to accomplish all that, so.
Yeah.
And I actually looked at him and I was like, now look, I went to school for 8 years, but I am not a doctor. Tommy Boy line? No? No laughter? All right.
I'm a pool man.
Pool man? All right. So, loser. Who's a loser, Breach?
I don't want to call anyone a loser.
Don't
that's,
have anything prepared. Okay. Let's see. Who's a loser, Debo?
Both these teams made it to the Super Bowl. They're all winners.
Ooh.
Oh, good transition. Good segue. Debo said, I'm a loser for Philip Rivers. So I announced, very pleased to announce, sad to announce, that I'm breaking up with the Chargers.
This is so dumb though, because this is like when you are about to get dumped and before you can, this is even different, because you were just dumped and you're trying to reframe it as I'm dumping them. The Chargers dumped you before you could dump them. You got broken up with.
Have the Chargers officially dumped?
No, but the only reason you tweeted out is because Jay Glazer reported that they've moved on from Philip Rivers, and then you tweeted that I'm done with the Chargers. Well, therefore, you got dumped, and then you try to reframe it as I'm dumping them before they could dump me. No, you got dumped. The Chargers. Right. You know how sad it is?
Listen. He's a single millennial, so no one knows more about dumping.
Somebody, you can tell.
Like the number one demographic.
You can tell.
Sensitive subject, guys.
You can tell someone's been dumped in the last week.
No, he got dumped right before he got on the plane, so he had cross country to think.
That's why I slept 90 minutes.
Wait, did you get dumped?
No.
No, I did not get dumped.
I think you got dumped.
Are you dating somebody?
I did not get, okay.
Are you in a relationship?
Steve, how long are you podcast running?
Are you in a relationship, yes or no?
No.
Oh boy, because you got dumped?
You got dumped.
Yeah, I did not get dumped.
Wow.
Well, by the way, here's what's going to happen. Like,
Steamboat crashed in the port.
He breaks up with the Chargers because of Philip Rivers. What happens when the Chargers franchise Philip Rivers? He's going to say
it's complicated.
So that's coming. So be on the lookout for that tweet.
I'm going to be like, it's going to be like, hey, at Chargers, and like,
it's kind of an open relationship at that point, because they're definitely going to be exploring some trades.
Yeah, there was a report. So the deal with Philip Rivers is that Jay Glazer reported they moved on. Jason Lockeford reported in November that the Chargers were not going to bring Philip Rivers back. And now Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that they may franchise tag him. Well, first of all, I'm going to side with JLC because he's our guy. He's, you know, in-house insider. I ain't ever going against Jay Glazer.
Well, you can franchise tag someone in the whole time, be like, we're moving on from you, but we're trying to see if we can get something out of moving on from you. You can tag and trade. In worst case, you can always, Phil Rivers isn't going to sign the tag, but you can always just rescind it if you don't get that trade.
But you know what else you can do? You can leak publicly that you're going to tag somebody and see if anyone calls you about a trade offer.
That's what it is.
And if you get no trade offers, you don't tag him. Because if you're Rivers, what you should do if you get the tag, sprint in there and sign it. And like, F y'all. Like, you're screwed now. Like,
give me that 20-whatever million.
$27 million. Yeah, I'll take the $27 million. Like, I'm going to come back and play. But, like, you know, you will start Tyrod.
Didn't he already move his family to Florida, according to reports? Yeah. But he's going to move all 50 children back. Okay. Come on, that's not happening.
So I saw a friend of the program, Greg Rosenthal, tweeting about this, and I saw getting some clap back from the Chargers fans. Do you think I think the Chargers are handling this incredibly poorly.
Yes. Well, we talked about this in the Pick Six video show. Right. That compared to Eli Manning, this is a complete and utter slap in the face.
It's unbelievable.
And you could argue that Philip Rivers was a better quarterback.
Yes.
Argue.
Even the Bears treated the Jay Cutler divorce better than this.
I don't know about you guys.
Even the Bengals are treating Andy Dalton better. We don't know yet. We'll see how they move him.
My preferred method of breaking up with someone is to just sort of go dark until that person is forced to break up with him.
We said the Chargers are ghosting Philip Rivers. They're good,
yeah. But it's not a ghosting. Like, I just prefer to go dark and then eventually they have to break up with me. I'm like, oh, how could it happen?
This is the most predictable
thing. Like I said, dad of the year.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not breaking up with my wife. My son? What are you talking about?
I just mean in general.
You haven't seen your family in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
When are we wrapping this podcast?
Oh, 30 minutes.
After you list four losers.
Yeah, come on. We're the Philip Rivers thing is a news item. Devo is slacking me like, will you shut up?
I think someone on the Pick Six podcast Facebook group, everyone should join it, was like, I think something's wrong with podcast. It's like, it's not updating the Philip Rivers emergency pod. Like, it hasn't uploaded to the feed yet.
Oh man. I think Rivers will end up in, or you think Philip Rivers will end up in blank.
Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Tampa Bay.
Why Tampa Bay?
Because Bruce Arians could not survive another season with Jameis Winston. Have you ever seen Jameis Winston play?
I've heard Sean talk about him.
Yeah. I've heard Sean talk about him too, and that alone is enough. I need Jameis Winston out of there just so Sean doesn't talk about him anymore. And we need him in Las Vegas with John Gruden. Las Vegas.
Yes.
And then where's Derek Carr go in this?
Chicago, unfortunately.
And then where does Trubisky go?
Oh God. Yes. Derek Carr.
Trubisky to New England.
No.
Wins a Super Bowl.
Derek Carr to Chicago. Yes.
I just said that.
Yeah, I know. That'd be incredible. Derek Carr and Trubisky?
I mean, I'd rather have Derek Carr than Trubisky.
What? No. Really?
Yeah.
For one season? Yeah.
I think so.
Yikes.
I mean, I think we're forgetting how bad Derek Carr at his best can be is an average quarterback.
They complete 70%.
We're not saying Derek Carr's trash. We're saying he's average in that, like, he had one good season that inflated his reputation. And he's probably, what, a 16 through 20 quarterback? Trubisky's like 26 through 32.
Yeah. All right.
Where's he go? Rivers.
Charlotte. And then my deep cut, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whoa. I like that. Whoa. I like that better than, I think he goes to Tampa because who reported that he moved his family to Florida?
My guesses.
Well, Jason, or Schefter.
Well, someone reported that he moved his family to Florida. So like,
no, Rivers literally said it. He texted.
Okay. Well, he texted there we go. Yeah. If he moved his family to Florida, I'm going to guess he's going to Florida.
But he's closer to Alabama in Florida. They basically moved to Florida because it's, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah, but who reported that Arians wanted Rivers? There seems to be a lot of smoke towards that and moving the family to Florida.
It makes total sense that he would be like the new Carson Palmer.
I don't like the fit to me. I like Philip Rivers. That to me is not the fit. I think something that's concerned me about Philip Rivers this past year is his diminished arm strength. Like, I think you could actually see some of that. And
yeah, I mean,
you know who turned the ball over a lot? Not as much as Jameis, but a lot. Philip Rivers. It seems like you're doing kind of an even type of swap.
You're getting a smarter, more
yes, okay, yes, James. Yes. I think you're getting a minor upgrade, or bigger than minor upgrade. Yeah. You're getting an upgrade, but like I don't know if that solves anything.
Jameis set the NFL record for pick sixes.
Yeah, that's why I corrected myself.
You literally throw two fewer pick sixes, you might win two extra games.
JLC's argument when he was
on the pod, a walk off pick six in a game.
To end the season.
To
become the first 30-30.
Yeah, he's like, just don't throw your 30th pick, bro. He's like,
on the last one.
So JLC's point was that Bruce Arians is probably not in this for 5 years, right? Like he's not trying to work in Tampa Bay for 5 years. So he thinks he has a window with a pretty good defense, some awesome offensive weapons. This is the second time Ryan's tinkling on this podcast. It's unbelievable.
Well, this podcast is going long, man.
Well, I mean, we're giving the people what Super they want. Week. We haven't done a podcast since last Friday. What are you sitting here drinking wine? You got a wine.
We finished the wine.
Arians doesn't want to deal with 5 years of Jameis Winston.
I'm not criticizing the move. I don't know if it puts him over.
But like, if you're Tampa Bay, you're in the situation where you're like, oh my God, we have to give Jameis like, you know, like we either give Jameis 5 years and like $150 million, which is what he's going to want, what he's going to command, or we're all in trouble for letting the former number one overall pick walk away. So the way you get out of it is by signing a guy like Philip Rivers. It's like the LA Tebow thing.
I'm fine with it. I'm not going to criticize it. I just don't see it as the move that gets them over the hump.
I think the culture in play too.
I think that would be good for him, like, because if...
Did that toilet flush show up on the podcast?
You don't have to. even if you disagree, to say his arm strength has diminished, like I said, and whatever, you don't have to disagree with that or whatever.
I disagree with
but if that's true and he goes to Indianapolis, Frank Reich does like a short passing game. They have a good offensive line.
Frank Reich was his old...
Yeah, coach. I think that like, in like, I like Brissett, but like, I like the idea of Brissett backing up an old quarterback who maybe could wear down and get hurt and like, you need him to fill in.
No, the Colts and Tampa Bay are great.
And you're playing indoors too, so you're not, yep. I mean, not that Tampa Bay is dealing with bad weather.
I think it's either Indianapolis or Tampa Bay. That's where he'll go. And I would put the Titans as a sleeper and the Panthers as a deep sleeper and the Steelers as like,
I think the Titans will tag Tannehill, so.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I think the Panthers would be a better sleeper. Because we just have no idea what's going on with Cam's health.
Your boy, Ryan. Oh, the Browns hired a GM, finally. Very exciting. Andrew Berry. We talked about the pick six, the video show. I mean, I don't want to spend too long on it, but like, it's good to get a guy who's been in Cleveland, who has an analytical blend of...
Is it good, though? We talked about this.
Well, I mean, there's nothing good about Cleveland. Like, it doesn't matter if Jimmy Haslam doesn't give him time.
Right. You've been there. They fired you.
Yeah.
You know how crazy it is.
Yeah, you're dating your crazy ex again.
He's the director of player personnel.
Like Debo keeps dating this crazy ex of his. It's insane.
What if she's listening?
Maybe.
Yeah.
And she's really crazy. I have no idea what Debo's doing.
Correct. Yeah, on paper it makes a lot of sense, but as you point out, Haslam has to be able to take a step back. He has proven that he cannot do that.
Right.
So, I like it. He has an undergraduate degree from Harvard in economics. He has a master's in computer science. He's not a dummy. I think when he came out of Harvard, I can't remember which team he tried out for, but after things didn't work out, the coach or there's someone in the front office said, "Hey, we want you to come work for us in the front office," sort of immediately as a 22 or 23 year old. So he's clearly very talented, and someone noticed that early on. You just hope it blossoms and doesn't wilt.
I mean, Jimmy Haslam can't keep from firing somebody every 2 weeks.
Well, he just can't stay. And, you know, you talked to Ken Carmen, 937. Are they the fan as well?
923 the fan, yeah.
923 the fan in Cleveland. And
you did too, yeah.
And he mentioned this, and we've heard this before, is that Jimmy Haslam goes with usually the last person who says something to him in his ear. So
he's like very approachable when it comes to like, if like you get his ear, you can convince him into anything.
That's right.
So he hires a bunch of nerds to do math and analytics, fires all those nerds. He's like, "We're going with football guys."
Wait, have they fired all the San Diego nerd?
Dee Podesta? No.
Jonah Hill? He's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but he fired like, he hired Sashi Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hired Sashi. Hugh was supposed to be the guy, the coach was Sashi. Fired all those guys. Let
Barry go.
Let Jonah Hill still there.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. We get it. You see Moneyball. You're drunk. You see Moneyball. We get it. Sean only slept 90 minutes. So, and also in Cleveland news, because we're going to get out of here. The New York Giants decided they needed a new coaching staff. So you know what they did, Sean?
Hired McAdoo.
They did?
That was a joke.
Oh, they didn't hire Ben McAdoo.
No.
They gutted their house. They're renovating their house. New kitchen. Fresh living room. Did the bedrooms all over again. And you know what they added outside? I'll tell you what they added outside. What they add outside?
I am just sad that I can't hit the toilet right now, make the flushing test.
I should have added an outhouse, baby.
I should have waited by
Can I get over there to flush the
toilet? That would have been legendary.
Yeah.
If you bang that, yeah. So they hired Freddie Outhouse Kitchens to be their tight ends coach, which means they now have a coaching staff with Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens.
Is Jason Garrett a good hire as a quarterback's guru?
He's the OC.
I understand. To work with Daniel Jones.
If you would ask Jared Dubin, our colleague who is a Cowboys fan.
Not a huge Garrett fan.
No.
Was Jason Garrett hired on Friday? Oh, that's, yeah, we didn't even do a Garrett podcast, did we? Did we?
If you're a Giants fan, you're going to tune in every week just to see this train wreck of a coaching staff. Freddie Kitchens and Jason Garrett on the same sideline? I mean, that's a fantasy.
We were getting tweets about like, are you going to do an emergency Jason Garrett pod? It's like, no. It was close.
Evo, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you that Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens coach for another team in your division that's not your team?
That was a 30 on a scale of 1 to 10. By the way, Devo's over here putting together an email to HR.
Like, apologize beforehand for this Tuesday podcast.
12:40. Oh, my God. How long is this show? Okay.
And he has to drive home, remember.
That's right.
I've only slept 90 minutes.
Okay, is that it? Everything? That's the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.